As we mentioned before, all the learning tonight, just as the tefillos were, should be for Rafua Shleima, for David Yonason Ben Peril, David Elephant, should be in our minds, and he should be in our tefillos, and he should have a complete refuah. B'karov mamish. We'll get back to talk about the Nisim that was already today. David Yonason was a very special tzaddik in our community. So we're sitting here together, and it's a little bit bittersweet. Baruch Hashem, we're still in the midst of the Yontif of Pesach. We're in Chol HaMoed. There's still what to look forward to, a Shabbos Chol HaMoed coming up. A Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Mirtz Hashem, Mesudas Mashiach, that will bring us to Mashiach, Baz Hashem. But all year long, we look forward to Leil Sedarim. We look forward to the Seder, the night of Amunah. And it already passed. Hopefully it was a very special night. Full of chizuk, full of desirous. It's important to remember, you know, the Chacham was at our Seder, right? All of us, we read the Dalet Banim. One of the Dalet Banim, the one that we hope to connect to most, the one that all of our parents hope that we are living up to be, is the Chacham. And the Chacham, you know, he comes to the Seder, and he asks, what are all the laws all about? And the answer we give him, you open up Agadah, what do we say to the Chacham? Chacham ma omer, ma eitas v'chuk v'mifradam asher tiva Hashem l'keinu eschem. He asks us, what are all these mitzvahs? What are all the laws that we're doing? So the answer is, v'af ata omer lo kichos ha-pesach. You tell him all about the laws of the Karban Pesach, up until ein maftir and achar ha-pesach hafikumen. Up until the idea that you're not allowed to what? You're not allowed to eat any dessert, you're not allowed to taste anything. After you eat the Karban Pesach, you know, is the halacha b'zman hazeh, after we had the afikomen, we weren't allowed to eat anything for the remainder of the night. If you ate anything after the afikomen, the halacha was you're supposed to eat another afikomen. It's a little bit strange. That's what the Baal Agadah feels is important to emphasize to the Chacham. Emphasize to the Chacham, you can't eat after the afikomen. You can't eat after the Karban Pesach. Of all Hilchos Pesach, of all that you want to teach him, that's what we want to teach the Chacham. What we want to teach the Chacham is not to eat after the Karban Pesach. You have a concern in this seat, but it's not my seat. So what's Pshat, obviously? What are we really telling the Chacham? You know what the Chacham's concerned with? The Chacham's concerned with, you come Seder night and you can do all these mitzvahs. It's one night, and then it's over. You came and you ate your matzah and you had your dalet kaisos. And you leaned, and you set over your shtickle tires, and then, now it's Chol HaMoed. So you tell the Chacham, no. You tell the Chacham, Ein maftir nachar pesach afikoymen. What's the idea? What do you mean you don't eat after afikoymen? It's that there should be a lingering taste. It should stay with you. You tell the Chacham, you know what it's all about, you know what all the mitzvahs are here, you know what all Pesach is about, it's not just for that night. It's that we should still feel right now, Leil Seder. All this iris, all the chizuk, all the inspiration. It's just a springboard, but I should be a different person from it. So hopefully, even though it's not bittersweet, it's all sweet. Baruch Hashem, we lived through a Seder, and now I'm a different person for that Seder. Hopefully we all feel that way. Each and every one of us. You know, the Baal HaTanya of Shner Zalman V'liadi, you'll tell us if this is true out of Yom HaZeh. Tell us if it's true for Yitzchak. The Baal HaTanya in his Agada doesn't have Nirtza. By Chabadniks, they don't have Nirtza. Now some of you are thinking, I don't have Nirtza either, because half the people at the Seder fall asleep, they don't even know there's such a thing as Nirtza, you know? No one ever makes it to that point. But the Baal HaTanya didn't have it in his Agada. There's no Nirtza. You stop after Halal. There's no, you know, when you Kadei, Shurachat, Karbas, Yachat, and you go, Halal, no, that's it, Halal, and then you stop. You know why he had no Nirtza? Because Nirtza, you sing by Nirtza, Chasal Seder Pesach. And the Baal Tanya says there's no chasal seder Pesach. There's no ending of the Pesach. There's no ending of the Seder. The Seder never ends. We're living on with the Seder. So there was no nirtza. So hopefully for each and every one of us, we're living on. And the Seder was just the beginning of Chizuk and Nisayrus and Mamish, it's still with us. And we should carry it with us, Mamish, the whole year until next year's Seder, Bez Hashem Isparach. But what's the main mitzvah of Pesach that's still for sure, besides for the Soros, besides for the inspiration, what's still lingering with us for sure is the mitzvah of Achil Smatzah. Vad, it's a different mitzvah. The Chiv of Achil Smatzah of Leil Seder is different than the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Pesach here in Chutz Lart. But the Vilna Gaon holds, many hold that all Pesach long is a key of mitzvah to eat matzah. That's why many only eat Shmur matzah all Pesach. Because every time you eat matzah, even if you don't have a chiv, if you don't have a chiv, bring chairs, come in this door, come bring around. Even if you don't have a chiv mitzvah, an obligation to have, but if you have matzah, you're mekayim mitzvah matzah. The pasuk says, shivas yomim matzos tochelu. In Parshas Bo, shivas yomim matzos tochelu. You should eat matzahs for 7 days. That's not just telling you because that's all you have to eat because I can't eat chametz. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. You ate matzah today, you're mekayim mitzvah if you're the grow. So this is the mitzvah we have all Pesach long. You eat some maror today, there's no mitzvah of maror. If you decide you wanted to have a romaine lettuce salad, so you got no mitzvah, that was meaningless. If you decide you can have some with some charoses and you want to relive, shkoyach, you could have it if you enjoy the charoses and it was a good charoses this year, but you're not mekayim any mitzvah. And if you want to go today and drink dal koisos, so it could be vad emes that you're supposed to have wine by your sudas on cholamoid, and simcha l'basar b'yayin, you should have wine by every sud of cholamoid. That's something that's very important to do. But dal koisos, if you had dal koisos by your sudah, so you weren't mekayim any mitzvahs. If you decided to dal tzeir v'sipritz yisrayim, so you're definitely mekayim mitzvah talmud torah. But the mitzvah of Sibri Tzitzrayim, nish, you weren't Mekayim. But matzah, if you ain't matzah, you're Mekayim mitzvah's matzah. So we have to learn about matzah, that's what's left to learn about. So there's a special halacha by matzah. The pasuk in Parshas Bo tells us that we have to have something called Shmura matzah. Right, you all know this. Do you ever think about it? Listen to the words of the pasuk. Ushmartem es ha-matzos. That's the source. Ushmartem es ha-matzos. You have to watch over the matzos. Why? Ki be'etzem ha-yom hazeh ha-seiti yesev o'seichem eretz Yisrayim. Because in the middle of that day, the 15th of Nisan, Hashem took us out, took out his legions, took out Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. So therefore we have to have shmura matzah. Ma'in yishmita etzal har-sinai? Shkoyach, you tell me, why, if I asked anyone in this room, why is it important to have shmura matzah? You tell me, because to ensure, as a gedder, to make sure it was watched, whether it's mishas ksira, mishas tchina, from the time it was cut, harvested, from the time you grinded up the wheat. But why is that? To ensure that it doesn't become chametz. But here the pasuk tells us the reason. Not to keep etzma yom hazeh, it's v'chlim eretzrayim. In other words, somehow shmur matzah reminds us of yitzias mitzrayim. How does shmur matzah remind us? Mean that as a shmira, the matzah we know, matzah reminds us of Yitzchak Yisrael, Shkoyach, as we know, because keeping chupazon, as we'll learn about, because we were taken out very swiftly, and therefore it's the lechem shel cheres, and we didn't have time. We all know this from the time we're in nursery. That's why matzah reminds us of Yitzchak Yisrael. But the fact that it has to be shemura matzah, that's what the pasuk says. What's this pshat? We know as well the pasuk in Re'eh. What I was just alluding to tells us that the matzah reminds us of Yitzias Yitzrayim, ki bichipazon yatzasa meretzrayim, because we left hurriedly, very quickly, very swiftly. Was that really such a maila? Was that really something unbelievable that we had to leave so quickly? Not so quickly, like rushed out of there. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya talking about the Geula Lasad Lavo, which hopefully won't be so much in the Asad. Bez Hashem, it should be Bez Hashem tonight. We should all be Zoicha to go. I can't finish Arm. How awesome. We could have Shabbos and Shalayim already. You better tell Rav Yoel to save a lot of seats. Ah, Bezer Hashem. But there the Pasuk in Perek Nun Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, the Pasuk says, Ki lo b'chipazon teitzu. In the future, we're not going to go out swiftly. We're not going to go out hurriedly, very quickly. It should be calm. It should be nice. It should be with excitement. Not like I have to sneak out very quickly. What's the mila? We all know kibichipazon as if it was a mila. Why was that a mila? We should go out like kings. What are we hurrying out? What's the mila in that? What are we trying to remember in our matzah? Chaver, here's the questions. We have to understand this. To understand matzah. These are fundamental to understand matzah. This mitzvah that we have left for the rest of Pesach. So I saw an unbelievable Bnei Yisrael this year. I don't know. The Rebbeinu Shlom brings you Torahs. I don't know why. And then I never saw this Bnei Yisrael before. But Mamish Meiridik Bnei Yisrael. You know what it is? I never really learned well Bnei Yisrael on Pesach. Chaver who knows me knows I love Bnei Yisrael. But Pesach... So when you're preparing for Pesach, what are you picking up? Haggadah after Haggadah after Haggadah after Haggadah. Every year you get 2-3 new Haggadahs. You have to have anyone who doesn't have a shelf of Haggadahs doesn't have Svarim, basically. And you put in Chayrim and you're not going to get a Shidduch. You have to have your shelf of Haggadahs. Even though last year you only went through 10 pages of the 200-page Haggadah, you need a new Haggadah. You have to go to Jacob, what's the new Haggadah? What's this year's new Haggadah? So you have to have, everybody has to have their collection of Haggadahs. And that's what you're learning through. You're learning through the Haggadahs. So because you're learning through Haggadahs, the other Svarim that you usually go through maybe don't get the usage as generally by other Yom Tovim. To live through Yom Tov, you have to live with the Bnei Yisrael. But prior to this year, I didn't really learn so many of the Bnei Yisrael on Pesach. And I picked up and I was learning through Bnei Yisrael on Ma'atzah. He says, such a Moridic idea. It answers all these questions. You know, in the Zohar calls Ma'atzah Michla de Menusa. You know what that means, Chavra? That means Michla is the food, Machl de Menusa of Amuna. It's the food of Amuna. Meaning, you want to build Amuna, you want to build more belief in God. Which, what do we want more than Amuna? What do we want more than our belief in God, our connection to Hashem? There's nothing else that's more important in the world. That's what's going to give us all our simchas l'chaim. That's what's going to give us all our drive to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. Is emunah that Hashem is by my side every moment. That Hashem is watching me every moment. You want to get some emunah? Eat some matzah. Michlo de manusa. That's your emunah energy. The food of emunah. Food of belief. Just pound my... Here, who wants some? We got a whole corner here. Go wash. You go. Eat some matzah. Walk out of here. Amamin b'nei maminim. Good stuff. You're going through Yisur and you're going through difficulties, you're having doubts, get him some matzah. Forget about talking to any Rav for Chizik, forget about Tehillim. Let's eat some matzah. Michl de Memnusa. That's what the Torah says. What's that mean? The matzah, the bread of Amunah? So I always understood it to mean something that I spoke about last week by a woman's shir, because the matzah has a duality to it, right? The matzah... On one hand is lechem shel ani, and that's why we break the middle matzah in half, as we all know, because it's lechem oni. It was a lechem of avdus, poor man's bread. On the other hand, it represents cheres, freedom. So when you have the same entity that represents both, there's a lot of emunah in that. That you see in the worst of times, within that symbolism of the matzah, there's going to be gula as well. There's a lot of emunah there. That's the way I always understood it, but I'm not going to get into it right now. Bnei Sasru says something moridic. Listen, unbelievable. I don't know how this is something I haven't even thought about in my life. You know, sometimes you see a Torah and it just like, it's mamish opens your eyes to, and what's amazing about it, it's so deep, it's so simple at the same time. It's something every one of us could think about that could have thought about on their own, thinking about matzah and see the emunah in matzah. What's the difference between chametz and matzah? What's the difference between chametz and matzah? In production. So when you make chametz, when you make, many of you, I'm sure you've seen, someone bake challahs, maybe one of your sisters makes challahs for Shabbos, maybe your mother makes challahs for Shabbos. She's making challah for Shabbos, so what does she do? So she goes and she takes the flour and the water and kneads it together first. And she kneads it all together and puts it all together, and then what? Then does she braid it right away? She doesn't braid it right away. What has to happen after you make the flour and the water? You have to leave it. And it has to rise. And then after it rises, you come back and you take it and you turn it into these long ropes, like snake-like, and you braid it together and you bake the challah, right? Part of the process with leaving it, and memela by itself, something had to happen. You don't work it the entire time. You're not involved in the process, the pula. You're not involved in making it the entire time. Some of it just happens by itself. As opposed to matzah, I had a schuz a couple, I baked matzah's mitzvah this year. One other night I went to bake matzah. I'm sure we've all gone either to bake or to watch baking going on. There's not a moment you're not working the matzah and involved in the process. There's not a moment that's left alone. Not a moment that's left alone. It's being kneaded, and then you run, and then you break it off, and then you're rolling it, and then you put the holes in it, and you put it in the oven, boom. Zeo. Not a moment left alone. What's obviously the Torah teaching us in matzah as opposed to chametz? Chametz, again, some of it happens by itself. Matzah, every moment is being worked. Every moment is being watched. Every moment is being taken care of. Thus is the lechem levuna. It's to teach us that poyel is the Eibishter. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is involved in our lives. Every single moment. There's not a moment in life that is left memela. There's not. When it comes to chometz, it's what happens by itself. In life, and the lechem shel amunah, what matzah is teaching us, and the yesoid of all of Pesach, because it's ikar mitzvah of all Pesach v'ada, it's only mitzvah, that's, as we said, it's all Pesach long, is to teach us that there's not a moment where the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is not involved in our life. There's not a moment where he's not orchestrating every step and everything that happens. He's mamish, the master of puppets, every single second. Everything is hashgacha from the Eibishter. And we have to believe that. And that's lechem of amunah. And when we have that amunah, my life is different. My avodas Hashem is different. The way I conduct myself is different. And nothing is happening by itself. Nothing's even happening, as we spoke about a few weeks ago, by mazolos. We're not bound by the mazel, by the luck of the world. And that's why we shecht, as we said, the Karban Pesach, which the month of Nisan is the mazel of Tleh. Those who remember, I'm not going to get into explain that in depth right now. You could be my in the share a few weeks ago by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And we do it specifically the 15th of the month, which is when the mazel is strongest, Bnei Sasko explains. The greatest amunah is to know that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is by my side every single moment. And even when things seem so bleak, and even where I don't even see them, it looks like things are happening by itself. The Eibishter is there running the show. And that's what matzah, there's not a moment where anything happens by itself. Everything is Eibishter. And we have to believe that, and we have to understand that. Let me tell you something. Today, we started Shir today by saying Tehillim for David Elephant, David Yonason Ben Parol. Let me tell you what happened today. Today, of this tzaddik. We'll talk more about his tzidkus a little bit later, but David Elephant for years already has been sick. Years ago he had cancer and was in remission for a while, but recently, unfortunately, it came back. And he had treatments done, and Baruch Hashem, they felt that the treatments were matzliach, and they eradicated all the cancer. That being said, this wasn't so long ago. And over the last while, he's still been extremely weak, still from the treatments. Very serious treatment, all that they did, as we know, the treatments to kill cancer. Mamish doesn't just kill the cancer, it destroys your entire body. So he's been very weak. And as we all know, those who are going through this, their immune system is very weak in all different ways. And not to get into all the details with him specifically, and not that I even know all the details. But unfortunately, a few days ago, he got sick with pneumonia and different viruses and went back into the hospital. He was in the ICU in pretty serious condition in the ICU, in the intensive care unit in Sloan Kettering. And he was there over the first days of Yontav. And already Erev Yontav, things were not so good, but Baruch Hashem, stable. And over Yontav, things got a little bit better, Baruch Hashem. very close with his son Daniel, very close to David, but very close to Daniel, and I was with him Erev Yontiv, and then right after Yontiv, the first thing I did was call Daniel. I didn't even make Abdallah. And he told me, Baruch Hashem, things were better throughout Yontiv, still in serious condition. We did tefillas, but better. The family was went home, Matzah Yontiv. They were all with him the first days. This morning, right, and I get home, right after davening, I get a call from first I get a text, and I missed a call. And I call Daniel, and I mamish hear him shrieking, crying to me, Rebbe, to daven, to open the gates of Shemayim, to have whoever you could daven. In a way that, let me tell you, my heart dropped, and I started crying, and I can't even explain to you what I felt. Hearing it from him, I know Daniel well, I know what he was saying, and I understood how serious it was. Mamish that al pi teva, he wasn't going to make it another day. Al pi derech teva, he wasn't going to make it another day. And by the afternoon already, Baruch Hashem. By the afternoon already, Mamish Yeshuos and Refuos and Nisim. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. A doctor took this family aside and told the family that there's nothing left for us to do. And said even something that a doctor should never say such a thing, doesn't have rishus to say such a thing. I told the family, I was there tonight by the house, I told them the doctor has no rishus to say such a thing. Anyone who's going into medicine should learn from this, never chas v'shalom to say such a thing. Said to the family, there's no hope, there's no light, there's no possible light at the end of the tunnel. Said such a thing. Remember this past January, I went by many tzaddikim of a Talmud, as we know, who's very, very sick. I remember the Hornsteipler Rebbe told me, he says to me, he looks at me, he says, the Torah says, V'rapo yirapeh, and Chazal says that those words give rishus for a doctor to bring refuah. Without those words, the doctor would never rishus to refuah. It's all up to Nebishter, whatever Nebishter wants to do. So we have rishus to be a doctor. You have to have rishus to be a doctor from Nebishter, which is an amazing role as a shliach v'Hashem. But he said a doctor has rishus to be a roife. A doctor has rishus to do refuah. He has no rishus to say there's no possibility of refuah. He has no rishus. He can say there's nothing left for me to do. So daven. It's non-Jewish, pray. Believe in God, whatever you want to say. No rishus for a doctor to say there's no light at the end of the tunnel. As Rasui Meyer told me, Rasui Meyer, when I went to speak to him, said the doctors know from nothing. When they say such things, they know from nothing. And Kachavi, the doctor said, basically told the family to go spend time, basically to say your goodbyes. Today, I'm talking about today. And the family went, they were talking already about Shiva. They were talking already about Avelus. And they decided they're going to spend time with their father, with their husband. And they're going to be in the room and they're crying and they start singing to him. What can you do? He's singing to him. He's sedated. He looked comfortable. They're singing to him. And they start singing to him. So his wife, Faye, I'm just telling you a story for today. They live right across the street. You can go ask. Right across the street. Faye, she starts singing from Hallel. And the whole family, Daniel tells me, start singing like mamish. They're in the ICU. The ICU, it's beds. It's not even rooms. If you ever, Lolena, you should never know from such a place. And they start screaming. They're all singing together. They don't care. Screaming Hallel, screaming singing. And suddenly he's completely sedated, the father. David's completely sedated. They suddenly see his foot looks like it's moving a little bit. Makes no sense at all. Shouldn't be possible. His foot looks like it's moving. And it looks like it's moving to beats, like as they're singing. And it starts getting more and more. And he's moving his foot in rhythm to the songs. And they couldn't believe what they're singing, but they're singing, so they keep on singing. And song, it gets more and more. And then they get up to, they're going through Hallel, they're going through then the songs by the Seder, and then they get to Echad Miodea, Echad El Kedesh Shemayim Baharet, and Daniel told me, in their family, when they get up to there, his father would always make everyone point up to Hashem,
and say, it's Hashem, Echad Elokeinu Shemayim V'aretz. Everyone should point up to Hashem. And the family gets up and scream, and they're singing it, and they all point to Hashem. And David Yonis in peril, what does he do? He's in the state of sedation, he's mad, the doctors are saying, there's no hope. He takes his hand and he points up to Hashem. And he opens his eyes, pointing up to Hashem. They start singing, they're singing, then they love this. Those were Shtibel families, the davening, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Shtibel, so beautiful. They start davening songs from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and one of them, Slach Lanu Mechal Lanu Kapar Lanu, David, he starts clapping, Slach Lanu Mechal Lanu Kapar Lanu. The doctors didn't know what was going on. They couldn't believe their eyes. They got scared that he's doing so much movement. They kicked the family out. They say they kicked him out eventually. Okay, we got to see what's going on here. Maybe there's more we can do. I don't know. Let him rest a little bit. The family's out, and two close friends from the community who brought them there, Mayor Krangle, Richie Friedman, they're there with David. A few minutes later, come back to the family. He's up, he's writing things to them already, he wants to know when he's getting out of there. Emes. Now, and he still needs a bigger fool. He's still in the ICU, he needs David Yonson, and Peral Shever Fush. Fuus and Yeshuas. But you see Nisim Gliyim. You see the doctors, you see this world. It's all Eibishter. It's all the Rabbonim. There's only one who runs the show, who's by our side every moment. Nothing happens by itself. It's the Rabbonim Shalom. You could go across the street. Ask. I went to the house. Daniel came over tonight, was telling me all this. We were talking and be mechazik, he was giving me the chizik, not me to him. And then I walked him back. They called him that they were going to eat. I walked him back, and I look at his mother, and I'm talking to the family, giving a little chizik, gaining chizik. She looks at me, and she looks me in the eyes and says, "I saw Hashem today." I'm like, "Yeah, no, I heard. I know. No. I saw Hashem with my own eyes." Nisim. We have to have a moon and believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the show. That's matzah. Nothing happens by itself. And the Rebbeinu Shalom, whatever he wants to do, can do at any moment. Listen to this Torah from B'nai Saschach Chavra. In Tehillim we say, V'yiftuchu b'cha yoydei shemecha. V'yiftuchu b'cha. V'yiftuchu, we have bitachon in you Hashem. We have entrust in you Hashem. Yoydei shemecha, those who know your name. We have to get back to those words. What does it mean, Yoydei Shemecha, those who know your name? Ki lo yazavta, because you never leave. Darshecha Hashem, those who seek Hashem. You never leave. You're always there. Now I know, by the way, just to throw out, obviously, sometimes the end story is not with the Nisim that we heard about today. That doesn't mean the Rabbon Hashem is not by this side also. We just don't understand it. We just don't know it. We just don't know why it's good and what it's for and what the Rabbon Hashem is doing. But he's doing that as well, even if the answer is not what we'd like it to be, by the way. And that's a whole other Torah which we're not going to talk about right now. But we have to believe that as well. That ki lo yazavta darshecha Hashem. Hashem never leaves. Hashem is by our side every moment. Every moment. So who's this to? Those who Yoydei Shemecha. What is Yoydei Shemecha? Listen to what B'nai Sasko says. Listen to this Torah. Yoydei, those who know the name of Hashem. So what's the name of Hashem? Shem Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the Shem of Rachamim. It's 26. Lechem, bread. Chomitz tikka, bread. Lechem, which we have all year, is Gematria 78. This is all from B'nai Sasko. It's not my own. B'nai Sasko is 78, which is exactly 3 times 26. Right, Shem? 3 times 26, 78. 3 times 26. Shem Havaya times 26. So Shem Havaya is 26 times 3 is 78 is Lechem. What's 3? Chachma bin Adas. Meaning our understanding of Yodei Shemecha, those who know his name, Lechem, all year long we can know his name. But that's Yud Kei Vav Kei by itself. If you really want to know the depth of Hashem, really understand his name, when you really understand something, what represents the depth of the word, of the entity, of the essence of the being? Not just the name, but the miloy of the name. We've spoken about this before, right? Chevra who new to the room because some of the chevra back from Ben Azmanim, right? What's a miloy? The filler of the letter, right? Aleph is not just Aleph. Aleph is Aleph Lamed Pei. And Beis is Beis Yud Tav. So if you take Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's Gematria 26. But if you take it by miloy, Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. Hey is Hey Aleph. Vav is Vav Aleph Vav. And Hey is Hey Aleph again. and you take all of those letters, that's really Yoidei Shemecha, in the deepest of ways, right? Yoidei Shemecha is knowing his name, but the depth of Hashem's name. Really seeing, not just on the exterior, Yudkei Vavkei, which is chesed that's so megala, like was done today, but chesed that's hidden within, that we don't always see it immediately. That's what the filler is, that's the miloy. Yudkei Vavkei b'miloy is gematria 45. But you need 45 chachma bina and das. You need all three to have an deepest understanding. 45 times 3. 45 times 3, no? No, it didn't have to have education, I thought. What's going on, no? Wow. 45 times 3 is? 135. 135 exactly gematria matzah. Matzah is exactly 135. Lechem 78. It's only Shem Avaya Chachma Bin Adas on the exterior, on one level. Matzah is the Lechem Shel Amunah. Matzah is 135. Is Yudkei Vavkei B'miloy times 3. When we eat matzah, it's the Lechem of Amunah. That's what it means. V'yivduchu b'cha, those who really have bitachon Hashem, are Yodei Shemecha. Those who really know your name. Not just on the outside like Lechem, but on the deepest depth. Like matzah. Those yidden, ki lo yazafta darshecha Hashem. Hashem never leaves your side. We believe Hashem never leaves our side. It's all good. How would a person ever have one drop of atzvos, one drop of sadness? Ebishtu's by your side. It's all good every second. Will we not serve Hashem in the best of our ways if we really believe the Rebbeinu Shlomo's ki lo yazafta darshecha Hashem? Could a person take out their phone late at night in their room and look at things that are appropriate if you really believe ki lo yazafta darshecha Hashem? Ki lo yazafta? You can't do it. How can I bring myself to do it? With God by my side? And gam ki elach b'geis hamav lo'ir ki ati imadi. Hashem is by our side always. We have to believe it. Now we understand matzah. Now we understand shmura matzah. Ushmartem es ha-matzos ki be'etem ha-yom ha-zeh ha-teis yitzchachem eretzrayim. All of yitzchachem eretzrayim is to believe Hashem is by our side always. In the deepest of depth of Mitzrayim, He takes us out. In the worst of times, Hashem is there by our side. We need shmura matzah, not just on the exterior, like we all know, to keep away chametz, because it represents that there's a shmira every moment. Shmura matzah is to remind us Hashem is watching every moment, just like we watch the matzah every moment. Hashem is by our side. We have to believe that. And this is the whole Yantav of Pesach. All Pesach, different than other Yom Tovim, is Rusu del El. Is Rusu del El. Is this Koyach Mabav? All other Yom Tovim, we daven. We die by Chanukah, by Purim, we Moser Nefesh, we do a lot to deserve, quote unquote, to gain the Geula, the redemption. By Mitzrayim, we were on the 49th level of Tumah, we're the lowest of low. Halol of the levels of Halol of the right. Yeah! Small things to trigger. Shaloshina, Shemam, Mavusham, Levashrayim. Alright, Shkoyach, but nothing near enough that we deserve the Geula. It was all just HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoid v'atmo saying, I'm here by your side, lo ezavta. I never leave you, even in the darkest of times. To remind us this lesson in Amunah. And that's what we remember every time we eat the matzah. That Hashem never leaves our side, because that's what matzah is opposed to chametz, as Bnei Sasker explained. This was also why the emphasis of and the ma'il of chipazon. Why did Hashem take us out swiftly b'chipazon? We all know this. We all learned this when we were very young because we were on the 49th level of Tumah. And if we stayed one more moment, we would have fallen to the 50th level and never gotten up. Given out. Which reminds us that we weren't really raw. We weren't fit. It was all Hashem doing it for us on His own because He's by our side every moment. That's the Ma'il of Chipazim, to remember that same Yesod. So seemingly that's our Avodah during these days. Our avodah during these days of Pesach is to just strengthen our amunah. That's the lingering taste of the Avikomen. Deep amunah where we believe Hashem is by our side, ki lo yazafta, He never leaves us for one moment. That's matzah. In every situation. We're dating, we're in shiduchim, and it's a difficult situation, whatever it might be. Ki lo yazafta, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam by our side, it's all good. We have difficulties, we're home with our parents, we've been with our parents a little bit too much over the last few days. Let's be real, all of us could use a little break. Every one of us. We just wanna do our own thing. We're so used to being alone and being able to be independent.
and sit and learn and daven the way we want and learn the way we want and just be with people the way we want to be with people and then relax when we want to relax. And he lays after, but Hashem's always by our side, so it's all good. There's a reason for this thing. Changes perspective of all of life. Oh, so this is the Avodah of Pesach. And we've entered into the Zman of Siris Omer, which starts Mimachras HaShabbos, Esvartim Lecha Mimachras HaShabbos, Miyom Evecha Mesomer Tnufa. It must be that this is the Avodah of Sfira as well. It must be that the whole Avodah of Sfira is to grow in Amunah. And to take the koyach of Pesach to prepare for Kabbalah's Torah with this Amunah. I was thinking about it, B'stama it's pshat, meaning everybody knows, listen to this, it's a yisoid that I came up with today, Mamash. Everybody knows that all of Sfiras Omer is because we're on the 49th level of Tumah, we needed 49 days to work on ourselves, to grow, to become right, to receive the Torah, right? Otherwise, right, the Ramban tells us, teaches us, famous Ramban in Pashas Emor, that all of Pesach and Shavuos is one long Yontif, and Sfiras Omer is Chol HaMoed. Pesach's first is Yontif, Shavuos is the last is Yontif, Sfiras Omer is Chol HaMoed. Because it's all one Yontif of Cheres, one Yontif of freedom. Pesach was physical freedom, but still, I'm not free because I don't even know what to do with my time yet. I need the Torah to receive the Torah, to be free to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why didn't we receive the Torah the minute after we left Mitzrayim? Shvi Shal Pesach, let's receive the Torah. We cross the Yantiv, Az Yashir, straight to Eretz Sinai that day. Kvitzos HaDerech. Why not? So we know we're in the 49th, our Chaim HaKadosh says it, Beferish, we're in the 49th level of Tumah, we needed 49 days to prepare ourselves to be right to receive the Torah. So the question I always ask, what did we do? How did we grow? How did we work on ourselves? If I or you, we want to work on ourselves, we want to grow, so we have 613 ways to grow. We open up the Torah, we learn Sefer Musar. I'm a chazik ourselves. We take one mitzvah I want to improve upon, I want to grow in. They didn't have the Torah yet. What did they do to grow? How did they work on themselves? So one teretz I always felt, and there's a lot of rayas to it, but we're not going to get into this right now, is Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. We spoke about this. Yitzhak Rafal made a beautiful siyum this past Sunday morning and on Mishnayos Nezikin. Spoke about this a little bit there. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. That we have to work on our midos, and these days are big days to work on our midos. That's why Talmid Rabbi Kiva passed away during these days. Shelo nagu kavol zel azeh. They're big days to work on midos tovos. You don't need the Torah to teach you midos tovos, although it does as well, obviously. But you could do that on your own, and that was our prep. Ve'yichin Yisrael neged ar kishacha b'lev echad. You know, saying today, Shir l'refuah shlema, David Elephant, David Yonasan ben Peril. Someone who's a Baal Chesed in this community, we said for a few moments before, like people don't even know. I wasn't just saying it because his son was here, that there wouldn't be any yeshiva or shul would never have been built without him. And again, not money he's given, but Imam is building the building. And losing money on half the time, probably. We wouldn't have shuls, we wouldn't have yeshivas without him. And Mamish, the people, I'm telling you, I know myself personally how many times over the years, and when I was in need of something, I called David Elephant. And within moments, he's helping, he's taking care. He hears of someone in need, something going on, he's jumping, he's running. In this community, there's nobody that he hasn't helped. Baal Chesed Shein Kamo. You don't even know. Halavai, we should all aspire to be such a Baal Chesed. That's why Vada, he has to have a refuah. The world needs him too much. There's certain people the world just needs. Bez Hashem. Refuahs and Yeshuas. That's what I always felt until now. That's Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. But I want to give over a different pshat tonight. As we're saying tonight, that all of Pesach is this Amunah. And Bistama, that's the Yisod that's be carried through the days of Siris Omer. And where do we see this maybe? So if you look in Parshas B'Shalach, we know right away when we left Mitzrayim at Mora, we were already given three mitzvahs. Bistomo, Hashem was giving us those three mitzvahs to work on those, at least three ways to work on ourselves. Three ways to be mekadish and mitar ourselves. Rashi says, what were the three? We'll see, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says a little differently, but Rashi here says, in Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Chav Hei, B'moro Nasalam Mikzas Parsha Shal Torah Shis Askubem, three mitzvahs, three parts of the Torah to deal with, Shabbos, Parah Aduma, and Dinim. Mitzvahs Ben Adlam L'Chavera of Mamanos. What's the yisod, I thought, between all three of those? Shabbos, we know, is concretizing Emunah b'Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world on 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Every time we keep Shabbos, we're emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu and testifying to the fact that we believe that God created the world. It's the yisod of the Emunah. It's believing in Hashem as creator of the world. That's what Shabbos is all about. Parah Aduma is the quintessential chok. When you keep a chok, it's all about Amunah. It's saying, I believe in God, even though it makes absolutely no sense. This mitzvah makes no sense. I don't want to do it. It doesn't calculate with me. I'm going to do it anyways. That's all Amunah b'Hashem. And Dinim is when it comes to my personal life. There's nothing, you guys aren't there yet, but the world of Mamonos, the world of monetary gain, so easy to be carried away and want to do it for myself. The only people who are going to be erlich in life are people who really have such a moon and say, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm going to keep the mitzvahs of Dinim. It's all working on our Amunah. It's all working on believing in Hashem. Because that's what these Yesodos are about. Happens to be the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav Omebez, and Rashi and Veschanan as well says, also Kivat of Aim. In fact, Parah Aduma really is not in the Gemara. The Maral and Gorari, if you want to be Mayan, talks about why Rashi adds Paraduma and leaves Kivat of Aim out here. The Gemara talks about Kivat of Aim and not Paraduma. It talks about Dinim and talks about Shabbos, but also Kivat of Aim. Kivat of Aim, we know as well. Kivat of Aim is also all about Amunah. If you look about the side of the Luchos, the first side of the Luch, which are all mitzvahs of Amunah, Anochi, Lo Yia, Lo Siso, all about believing in God, respecting God, and then what are the other two mitzvahs there? Shabbos and Kivat of Aim. Kivat Aim is practically saying, because that's how I build my Amunah b'Hashem. When I see and I have respect for my parents who created me, then I can finally have the proper respect for the Eibishter who created me. It builds our Amunah b'Hashem in a practical way. So that all the mitzvahs that were given to us prior to Matan Torah were all mitzvahs of Amunah. And it makes so much sense. I've said over so many times at this table the famous words of the Ramban when he explained the Shita of the Bahag. When the Bahag says, when he has his minyan amitzvos, and in the 630 mitzvos, he leaves out Amunah as one of the 630 mitzvos. It makes absolutely no sense. How can you not have Amunah as one of the 613? What's the Ramban saying? It's a sagas on the Rambam. He says, because Amunah is not just one mitzvah. It's not just another one of the mitzvos. Not just you have Shatnez, and you have Shabbos, and you have Ichves, and Kivat Reim, and you have Amunah. Amunah is not just another mitzvah. Of course it's a deraisa, but it's part and parcel of every mitzvah. It's the foundation that every mitzvah sits upon. There's no such thing as any mitzvah if you don't believe in God. Why am I putting on tzitzis? Why am I putting on tefillin? Why am I davening? Why am I learning? Because I believe in God. Without it, there are no mitzvahs. So Amunah is the prerequisite of all, and therefore that's how we have to work on ourselves before we come to Shavuos and Kabbalah Zatayrah. And that's the Yontif of Pesach. And that's what matzah is. Matzah is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by our side every single moment. Never, chas v'shalom, be misyayish for 1 second in life. Any nisayon we have, never be misyayish for 1 second. The Eibishter is running the Welt, and there's reason and there's rhyme, and it's going to be, Bez Hashem, in the right time, in the right place. And that's matzah. There's a shmira every moment. Let's just end with one story. I'm going to read it to you. It was a story I was reading over the first days of Pesach, to get this the old Haggadahs touched by the Seder from Rabbi Chiel Spiro. He came up with a newer one after, touched by a story Seder, whatever. It's another Haggadah, there's more stories, more Torahs. So he says over here as follows, I'm going to read you the story, it's unbelievable. Years had gone by and still Avrami and Chavi Turniansky had not been blessed with a child. They had gone to many medical experts in the field, but still, no results. With each passing day, they forced themselves to smile and to pretend everything was all right. But it wasn't. More than anything, they wanted to have a child to call their own. Finally, out of desperation, Avrami decided to ask for a meeting with the famed Rav Shimshon Pinkus to receive a bracha. Rav Shimshon, despite Avrami's protests that it was not necessary, said he would pick Avrami up that evening for their meeting. It was 11 p.m., and although the hour seemed very late, Avrami assumed this was the only time the busy Rav Shimshon had. Rav Shimshon pulled up on time. Avrami got into the car, and off they went. As Avrami spoke and Rav Shimshon responded, Avrami tried to keep track of where Rav Shimshon was driving. He no longer recognized the area, and Rav Shimshon would not answer when Avrami asked him where they were going. Avrami thought this was strange, but he did not dare doubt the Rebbe. Suddenly, Rav Shimshon pulled off the road entirely. He was now driving on a dirt path. There were no street lights, and the only illumination came from the sparkling stars, seemingly paving the way for them. After another 10 minutes, Rav Shimshon stopped the car in the middle of nowhere. Avrami looked at his Rebbe, wondering what in the world he was planning. Rav Shimshon told him to get out of the car. Avrami could not understand what was happening. What did the Rebbe want from him? Spend the next half hour davening, and then I'll be back. With that, Rav Shimshon put the car in reverse and drove off. He returned a half hour later to find Avrami sitting on a rock, waiting for him. Rebbe, why did you leave me here? Again, Rav Shimshon turned to Avrami and instructed him, Avrami, this is it. This is your chance to daven for a child. You are all alone right now with no one else in the world to turn to. So turn to your Father in heaven and beg him with all your strength to bless you with a child. Because I can't help you. The doctors can't help you. Nothing and no one can help you. Only the Eibishter can help you. So daven as if you feel that way. Again, Rav Shimshon got into his car and drove off. A half hour later, he returned. He looked around for Avrami, but could not find him. He searched and waited for another half hour and began to worry. Suddenly, Avrami emerged from a nearby field. His eyes were swollen, his face was tear-stained. He had obviously been crying very hard. Now we can go. He did not utter a single word on the way back. Within the year, he and his wife were blessed with a child. A child born from the tears of a broken father knew that nothing and no one other than Hashem can make it happen. That's the end of Pesach. Just to believe and to understand that Rabbeinu Shlomo is by our side every moment. Ki lo yazavta doshecha Hashem. No matter what's going on in our lives, the Rabbeinu Shlomo is by our side. Gam ki ilchkei samav liyir ki atimodi. To listen to a story like we had this chus to hear and to live through today about David Elephant. But in all of our own lives, to believe and to understand in the best of times and the more difficult of times. Kadosh Baruch Hu is by our side always. And that's these days that we should be working on continuing to instill in our hearts this emuna. And that's how we'll walk into Kabbalah Torah. Show the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're with you. We know you're with us. Until we're zoyche that Kadosh Baruch Hu brings the Giloy, Shechina, with the Mashiach Zidkenu, b'mehera v'yameinu.